You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
You're listening to episode number 38 of Living the Dream with Rory O'Malley. If you like the podcast, remember, subscribe, rate, review, repeat.
Audition, side job, swimming upstream. Believe it or not, you're living the dream.
Hello, dreamers. We're living the dream. Welcome. Rory O'Malley here, your host on Living the Dream. I am so happy you're joining me this week because I have a very close friend of mine, Mr. Joseph Leo Bouary, who was Frankie Valli in Jersey Boys on Broadway on the national tour in Las Vegas for many, many years. He was so damn good in that part. I got to see him play it many times in different theaters, and he was just sensational. And I love that show so much. Was able to get to see that show at La Jolla Playhouse in its pre-Broadway tryout. And from that moment on, I was like, this is such an exciting show. And I knew Joe. And as we discuss on the podcast, I was like, you've got to play Frankie Valli. But I wasn't the only one. Everyone told him that he had to play Frankie Valli. And he's such a gifted actor, tremendous singer, but he's also really smart, really well organized, and was always clearly going to be a director, a artistic director, an organizer, a leader. And he has decided to go back to the place where we met, where many of my friends and I had called home for years, Gary Marshall's Falcon Theater. And since our mentor and good friend Gary passed away last year, the theater is undergoing a lot of changes, and it is now going to be called the Gary Marshall Theater, and it's becoming a nonprofit. And there's a whole new season that they're doing over there at the theater, and I'm so excited about it, and I'm so proud of Joe for tackling this completely new journey fearlessly. Well, he's probably a little afraid, but he's stepping right through that fear, and it's just another aspect of him living his dream. And I think it's such an exciting moment when an actor decides to do something uncomfortable, out of the box, and certainly taking on the role of artistic director that he's taking on with another friend of ours, Dimitri Toskis, who is a director who's directed a lot of plays there. They are doing such a wonderful job. They're opening up Masterclass in a few weeks' time, and they're going to do A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, an Edward Albee play, and a Neil Simon play. It's going to be a great season, and I really got my start at this theater. I love the people involved with this place, so I'm going to do everything I can to support it. And I hope that if you are in the Burbank, Toluca Lake area and want to support this wonderful theater that has been so great for the community for so long, definitely look into getting a subscription. Look into finding a way to be at this theater. They've made so many changes to the inside. They've redesigned things, and it's really exciting, the plays and musicals that they're going to be putting on this year. But this is my interview with Joe, who is just, he's a great guy. I'm so excited for him. I'm so impressed with him. And he's had quite the journey to get to where he is, including years and years of starring in Jersey Boys. So please enjoy my interview, my talk with my buddy, Joseph Leo Bouary.
Yeah, do
recording.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
don't,
do
don't think
but
I'm
do you
being
need to, But do you need to be plugged in to, for power?
I've got like 68%.
Okay.
That'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we get close for whatever reason,
okay,
then I'll turn it off. Turn it off.
That's your song.
That's the old song. Hi, Joseph Leo Bouary.
Hi, Rory.
James.
O'Malley. I knew O'Malley. That. I knew
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I paused just for dramatic.
I know. I know. I'm so glad that we're talking today for many reasons. But I'm more excited that we're talking where we are seated right now in the back row of the Gary Marshall Theater.
That's right.
In Burbank,
California.
California. Toluca Lake.
No, it's
not.
It
We're in the Tolucan times very often, I just assumed.
We have been. It's Toluca Lake and Burbank where they meet. This is where they come together, I like to think.
Yeah. Right here next to the Bob's Big Boy across the street.
That's right.
Riverside and Pass.
Yeah, sure. That's a big major cross street.
Yeah.
It's really on Riverside and Rose.
Riverside and Rose. Okay.
Next to Umami Burger.
Right.
I guess we're going to plug all the local restaurants.
Yeah, of course.
Priscilla's Coffee on the other side.
Priscilla's, great local coffee joint. But we are here because I want to talk. We're going to go in reverse order.
Okay.
All right. Because I think, you know, don't mess up the headline here. You are now artistic director, co-artistic director, working along with this wonderful team here at the Gary Marshall Theater to make the transition from the Falcon Theater into the Gary Marshall Theater, which it is now officially.
It's officially the Gary Marshall Theater.
Okay.
And for 20 years, it was officially the Falcon Theater.
Right.
Which Gary Marshall ran and built, actually. This was a used car lot.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, part of it was a used car lot. And Gary's production office, his movie production office, was down the street where the post office is on Riverside Drive. And he had his eye on this piece of property and said, we need a live theater in the 818 area code, and I'm going to build it. And so he and Kathleen, his daughter Kathleen, Kathleen Marshall from Burbank.
Right.
Actually, Kathleen Marshall from Toluca Lake. They did grow up in Toluca Lake. I like to say that she's my Kathleen Marshall.
Right.
I've never worked with the other Kathleen Marshall, but I hear that she's awesome. But the weird thing about them is they look like they could be twins.
They do. They look
a
lot alike.
Don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely, when I've had Kathleen Marshall, Toluca Lake Kathleen Marshall,
sure,
come to see me in plays and have her on the list to come backstage, people in the show get all nervous, like, you know, big director choreographers coming to the show.
I know.
And I'm like, well, it's not her, but you should be nervous.
You should be nervous. This is Charlotte Cutaway from Princess Diaries 1 and 2.
Exactly. A star of many of Gary's movies and artistic director here for its first.
She was the producer.
Producer.
Producer for the 20 years.
I see.
Here. Yeah. Kathleen Marshall from Toluca Lake. Really, Kathleen Marshall LaGambina.
Right.
Because she is married.
Right.
To Doug.
To Doug.
Should I give away all their personal...
We're going to give away their telephone numbers and social security.
Stay tuned.
But also, Doug has the restaurant across the street from the Pantages.
Doug LaGambina.
Which is a place I've gone to many, many times already that we've been there.
That's an awesome place.
Yeah, Doug has a wonderful restaurant.
New head chef there.
Yeah, so
really
good.
Awesome.
Oh, so good. Perfect place to go to before you go to see Hamilton. Wooden Vine across the street from the Pantages.
Definitely. I recommend it.
And I don't even sponsor this.
And I've heard that Hamilton's good too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
It's pretty good.
You know, the first play, well, big musical that I ever saw was at the Pantages.
Really?
Yeah, I was a kid.
Because I grew up here.
Yeah. Starlight Express.
That is the most perfect play to see for your first time.
I wish we could do something with roller skates in the Gary Marshall Theater.
Starlight Express, you must confess. Are you real? Yes or no? Starlight Express, Starlight Express.
I was going to say, you know it. I saw it.
To be found. No, that's all I remember, but that wasn't the right order of the lyrics.
No, but it was good, though.
Okay.
You have great tone.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm working on it. Mm-hmm. So the first play you saw, you grew up in Los Angeles. What part?
Sherman Oaks, California.
Sherman Oaks. Gotta love it.
That's right.
So everyone in the LA area, Pantages really means a lot to them because that's where all the touring shows came through.
Yeah, it's really upped its game ever since they renovated it. And it's so beautiful there,
the lobby, the inside.
Some lovely usher yelled at me because I was taking a picture of the ceiling. And
apparently
you're not allowed to do that.
Oh,
I thought you just couldn't take a picture. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I know the rules.
Ceiling?
No pictures of the set.
I get that.
No picture of the set, intellectual property. I get it. No one wants their set to be photographed. But the ceiling, that could be, it's a beautiful ceiling.
Totally. Oh, it is stunning. Actually, like, that is the most beautiful part of the Pantages. At the end of every show, when we're greeting people on stage, friends and family, they turn on the lights and it's like mesmerizing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so stunning.
Mm-hmm.
Everything over there is great. I've really enjoyed the staff and just everything about the Pantages.
It's so cool.
It's made me really happy to come back to LA.
It's so important for Hollywood, too. You know, right there on the Walk of Fame. And
yeah.
Now the hotels and the restaurants. It's all just awesome now.
Yeah. I mean, when I moved to California, to Los Angeles back in 2003, it did not look like that down there.
No.
There were no places to eat.
There was no Trader Joe's.
Yeah. There was no Trader Joe's.
Now it's like Trader Joe's and Equinox and a fancy hotel and Wooden Vine.
I literally go to all of those things every day now before the show. Equinox, Trader Joe's, and then Wooden Vine. It's great. But there's so many other things. So it's nice to see that the theater community has really made a neighborhood thrive, and that, you know, hopefully Hamilton is going to bring a lot of new people in to Hollywood and to Pantages, and they'll keep going to theater. So let's get back, though, to the Gary Marshall Theater.
Yeah.
You are, this is a huge undertaking.
Yes, it is.
We both have a lot of ties to this theater and to
we do.
To this place. It means so much to us. And when we lost our good friend and mentor, Gary Marshall, last year, a year ago in July, It was a scary time, not just because we lost somebody that we really cared about, but because we weren't sure what was going to happen to this building, to this place that we have so many memories and so much emotions attached to.
More emotion than I realized,
yeah,
actually. And I'm sitting here, like we said, we're in the back row of the Gary Marshall Theater, and I'm staring at Gary's seat where he watched all the shows from, which is now upholstered in purple, which was his favorite color. And I'm thinking
Northwestern.
I'm thinking about, he was our friend. He was our family. He was our mentor. He was our director. He was our personal punch-up writer. And the loss is weird because it's all of those things. And then knowing there's a void of the person who, even when I was in New York in the show, I could call him and say, I'm doing this thing and I need a story. And and he'd just like talk me through. So it's an interesting piece of my personal puzzle to be missing.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of us who closely worked with him, and, you know, that was the very stage where we did Happy Days the Musical, where the set didn't open and we were trapped in the smoke.
Yes. Yes, we went through, I think we talked about, well, maybe I talked about it on Christine's podcast. Christine. I can't remember because we're a confusing podcast. But Christine Lakin, who has been a guest on Living the Dream, we talked about.
She was Joni to my Chachi.
She was Joni. Joe was Chachi. I was Richie. And we were all trapped in a giant jukebox that was filling up with smoke that was supposed to open up, but the
and
smoke.
It didn't open,
and we were being gassed.
And the song kept going, and the vamp, and it didn't. And then we were
pounding on the doors. Let us out! They're gassing the entire teenage population of Milwaukee. And we like burst open. That was the beginning of the show, and then I had to sing the entire opening of Happy Days the Musical.
Well, I laughed in the background. I danced and laughed.
You all laughed. Everyone was just laughing, and I'm trying to keep it together.
You're a professional.
Well, I had to be. I mean, we had a full theater of people.
What was that song?
Welcome to Wisconsin. Make yourself to home. To home.
Oh, yeah. Not to.
You can't say Paul Williams, our amazing
composer. Lyricist.
He was like, it's very important that you say make yourself to home, not to home. Because that's what they say in Wisconsin. He was an expert.
Apparently.
He'd been there.
Now he works with Daft Punk.
Oh, he's
everywhere.
Incredible.
He's everywhere.
He continues to work and just be an amazing person. Love that man.
I had a podcast, I think it would be called Tangents. Because I don't stay on topic.
No one does. I mean, that's what it's for, is for us to just like talk for an hour.
Okay, great.
About the old, especially when we know each other as well as you and I know each other. I mean, how are we going to stay on topic? I already know everything I'm going to hear from you today.
Yeah, maybe you don't.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
You could surprise me.
I could give away some Gary Marshall Theater undercover dirt.
Ooh, This is really going to up the game of living the dream. Is getting some dirt. All right. So let's get back to, though, when it was kind of, you know, trying to figure out what was going to happen with the Falcon Theater.
Right.
So we had a beautiful memorial service for mm-hmm. Gary back in November.
And celebration of life, yeah.
Right. And that's when it was announced to everyone that the theater would be renamed the Gary Marshall Theater mm-hmm. and that it would open as a nonprofit.
Right.
Theater.
Because for the 20 years that it was the Falcon Theater, it was a commercial venture that Gary, as you know, that Gary subsidized. And he made sure that the doors stayed open and that people came here and they were laughing and they were crying and they were feeling something and learning something and experiencing a story of some kind. And again, like, what are we going to do without that person?
Right.
You know, it takes so many more people to replace that one
right.
person. And yeah, what was going to happen as we all, it was November 13th, which is Gary's birthday, that we had the celebration at the beautiful Valley Performing Arts Center in Northridge. And that's when Kathleen of Toluca Lake let everyone know that the change was going to happen. We were going to stay open. There would be a transitional period, but it would come back as a legacy venue, and we were going to raise the bar on every aspect of what this theater stands for and what kind of productions happen here, and expand upon Gary's philosophies and ideas. Not so much expand upon what the Falcon Theater did, but expand upon what Gary truly loved in the art world and in live arts and theater, which is why we're opening with Masterclass.
Right.
One of his favorite plays of all time. And he and Terrence McNally almost mentored each other, because when Gary was working on the film version of Frankie and Johnny, mm-hmm. which is based on Terrence's play, Terrence had not ever written a screenplay. And that was the same time that Gary was penning Wrong Turn at Lungfish.
Right, his
play. Which
was
Gary's play that was in Chicago, in New York, and in L.A. And they sort of cross-referenced each other's work and were like advisors to each other on Gary saying, here's what you do on this part of the screenplay, Terrence. And Terrence saying, Gary, here's what you do in this transition of this stage play. Right. So Gary's love for Terrence, for Masterclass, and for opera, which you know is one of the apex points of his film Pretty Woman, and it's used in other films that he's done, was the perfect culmination of what Gary stood for when it came to like what he wanted art to be.
Right.
And the message that the Maria Callas character is teaching her students through the piece of Masterclass very much emulates what Gary's perspective as a mentor was to young artists.
Right.
Don't settle, keep going, try, do better, do more, don't do one thing, be, you know, all those things that Gary would just say to us all
yeah.
the time.
And most importantly, life is more important than show business.
Life is more important than show business. And that life informs who you are in your business of
right.
show, you know?
Right. I mean, the list of people that he was a mentor to, or that he started careers for, is like stunning, you know, including Julia Roberts, mm-hmm. Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. So many people attribute their success
right.
to him.
Right.
You know, and I think we both do, for everything that we've gotten to do. I know for a fact that the only reason that I get to be on a Broadway stage or any stage at all is because of the home that he gave me here mm-hmm. at the Falcon.
And he did that. He did that. You know, he was a mentor to so many people, but he also had that, you know, innate ability to, and sincerely, for everyone that he crossed paths with, they felt that they were also one of his best friends.
Yeah.
And it wasn't phony.
No.
It was real. Like, yeah. True, true, true. I remember you. I'm invested in you.
Right.
And, yeah, but I mean, you're talking like Ron Howard, his sister Penny,
yeah.
all the from every avenue that he could find someone, and he would find people in restaurants, mm-hmm. and at the ball game.
Yeah.
And he says, do you have a headshot?
Yeah.
Give it to me, you know?
Yeah.
Because he was constantly, he's just looking at the surroundings and finding who needed to be seen by other people. And then, like you're saying, give them a stage, give them a platform. So we're going to do more of that here. We're going to keep opening up the doors to new people that deserve and should have a nice, safe home to be artists.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. And what you've already done in such a short period of time, first of all, the season is so great. Mm. What you've got, Masterclass, funny thing happened on the way to the Forum.
Mm-hmm. And then it's the West Coast premiere of an Edward Albee play called Occupant.
Amazing.
And then Neil Simon's Laughter on the 23rd Floor.
I mean, I have to tell you, when I got, first of all, like the artwork and the announcement of you guys are doing it right. I know I keep saying that to you, but I'm saying it on the record.
It's official now.
You're doing it right. And I know how much work you're putting into this transition. Everyone here,
yeah.
That you are all working so incredibly hard, and I am so proud of you guys.
Oh, thank you.
It's going to be a great year.
It's going to be a great year. It's a labor of love, and a love for Gary, but a love for the community.
Yeah.
And for like the live arts, you know, because we're doing those four massive productions within our subscription series, but there's nights of one-off comedy or a holiday concert. There's the Gary Marshall film series that we're introducing, which is all of his films that he directed in chronological order. We're bringing back youth programming and just filling the space with community and filling the space with different forms of live art.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's so exciting. And it just, the new lobby.
The new lobby.
It's gorgeous. Like you've already taken the steps to remodel.
Would you say that our lobby is reminiscent of the Pantages?
I think it's a different style. I don't think that would really fit.
Truly.
In the Gary Marshall.
I think our entire building would fit in the lobby of the Pantages.
That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah. You guys have made some amazing updates that I know a lot of the people who have been loyal subscribers and people who have come to this theater are going to be just blown away when they walk through those doors and get to come see Masterclass in this new season. So great job.
Thank
You're
you.
Doing great work.
I Thank
mean,
you.
Like, I'm so, so proud of everything that you guys have done here, and I will support it in any way I possibly can.
Fantastic.
I mean, you know, I've already been showing up here like once a week.
I like
You're it. Like, oh, Rory's here again.
I like it.
I'm announced.
I'm starting to set up a little office for you.
Okay, good.
Just in the hallway.
Good, good.
I'll tell you a funny story about an office hallway that you probably don't know about.
Okay.
When I was doing Jersey Boys in Las Vegas, when we first went there,
right?
We were opening the Palazzo Hotel.
Wow.
They didn't have enough dressing rooms or something. And so I had a Rubbermaid rolling three drawers and a chair that they put in a hallway. And I was playing Frankie Valli.
Yeah.
I was like, how'd I end up here?
How did this happen?
How'd I end up in a
hallway? I had more of
a
dressing
hallway.
Room at the Falcon.
Yeah. The Falcon was more
glamorous.
That's
crazy.
Eventually, there was a room for me.
Yeah.
But until
eventually.
I warmed up in the hallway.
Well, we're going to get to the Jersey Boys.
Oh, should I not have said that?
That was totally inappropriate for you to bring that up out of order. I wanted to start with
this amazing news. Yes, no, you can edit that out.
It's out.
It's gone.
It's already gone.
It's gone.
I've already done it.
Cut it.
How dare you?
I never said it.
No, but let's go. So I remember when we were doing stuff here at the Falcon, and we always joke about this, that we would be on stage, you're playing Chachi, and you are under your breath commenting to me, like, what should be done directing-wise, what should be done producing-wise, what should be done with everything on there, because you have that kind of brain. You are definitely a leader in that way, whereas I'm sitting there going, I don't really care. I'm just glad I'm playing Richie. That's all I can handle. And you are thinking on all the different levels. And you started off with the Marshalls working for them in the office, right?
Right.
I mean, you came from a place of organizational producing.
Yeah, I was actually assisting Kathleen.
Right.
And
doing the children's shows.
Yeah.
You were directing.
Then I started
writing.
Yep. That was a big part of the children's programming here. And then I was made children's theater development. And that was when, that was a great time of my life. And that was working with Lori Marshall,
right,
which is Gary's other daughter, his right, oldest daughter. And Gary would give us notes, but we would be conceiving and creating and writing these original works that he had a big hand in. And Kathleen, his other daughter,
right,
would produce. And then Scott, his son, just to not leave him out, was working on the films with Gary. So that's why he wasn't on the day-to-day at the theater. But yeah, my original footing here was not on stage here.
Yeah.
It was definitely behind the scenes and in a, I don't even know what kind of capacity you'd call it, a busybody.
Well, and when I first met you, you were the assistant director for Snoopy, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That was the first thing I did here was mm-hmm. when I was Charlie Brown and Snoopy, mm-hmm. the musical,
mm-hmm.
and you were assistant directing, mm-hmm. And then we did the Truby show.
Yep, we did.
Which the Troubadour Theater Company is a major part
amazing.
Of. Just as much as the Falcon.
Yep. Amazing.
Matt Walker and Beth Kennedy mm-hmm. and that whole crew. We were so lucky to get to be a part of that theater company. We did shows
definitely.
With them. And
yeah, so Matt was directing Snoopy.
Right, Matt was directing
and
Snoopy.
And I was assisting Matt on that production. And was
you guys were doing Comedy of Aerosmith
okay.
at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were doing Snoopy, and I remember we would just do stuff, and then Matt would say things like, if something goes wrong on stage, point it out and make fun of the other actor. And I go, what? That's not what I learned at Carnegie Mellon.
Was that not
Mellon.
Carnegie Mellon?
That wasn't in our training. And, you know, I realized, like, this guy is coming from a different place, a different set of rules on a stage, and I love it.
Yeah.
And then I went to go see you and the cast of Comedy of Aerosmith at the Roxy on Sunset Boulevard.
That was awesome.
We all came, and I literally, my mind was blown. I was like, Matt, I will pass out flyers. I will do whatever it is to be a part of this theater company. Whatever you're doing is the most fun thing I've experienced on a stage in so long, please. And it just so happened that they were doing Santa Claus is Coming to Motown that following holiday season,
mm-hmm.
and they needed somebody, a young Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
If I've ever been right for a role, it's a young Santa Claus, Kris Kringle,
mm-hmm.
Santa Claus is Coming to Motown.
And that's where we take the claymation
right.
show
right.
and the music of a catalog, this being Motown,
right.
and mashing them
together.
Up. We were the mashup before Glee.
Exactly. No, absolutely. I mean, it was, to me...
And you were really funny.
Oh.
You were really funny in that.
I often say, like, the fact that I got to be in Book of Mormon and get to play the King in Hamilton, I learned how to be funny on a stage by being a Truby.
Yeah.
The Trubies taught me how to have confidence and to how to earn a laugh on a stage in a way that I just know I wouldn't have been able to do if I didn't have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a real certain confidence. But then we were working with the Trubies, then Gary's doing Happy Days, the musical, developing it and something. He goes, we're doing the Happy Days. Joe, you'll be Chachi. Rory, you'll be Richie, you know. And so we had this experience of putting together that show on the stage for a couple of years.
Yeah.
A couple of readings, workshops, and then full production.
What was your first production? What year do you remember?
We always play this game because
there were so many Fonzies.
So many different Fonzies, Richies. I think my first time doing it was in December of 2004.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, which was yours too, right?
Well, I mean, truth be told, I worked scenery in the first one.
Nice.
That was the first 2001.
Right.
And that was with Marissa.
Yes. Marissa Janet Winokur.
Yep.
From Hairspray.
Yep, from Hairspray, but pre-Hairspray.
Right.
And Paul Vogt was in that.
Right.
And Camila Marshall.
Wow.
Just a bunch of, everybody was super talented. And in every incarnation.
Yeah. Paul Vogt from Mad TV and Camila.
And also from Hairspray Broadway,
oh, yes,
Chicago
that's
Broadway.
Right. That's right.
And,
yes.
And everything.
Yeah.
Camila, who, Hairspray Broadway.
Yeah.
Maybe we developed the cast of Hairspray.
I guess so. They all were in Hairspray. Except us.
We weren't in it.
We weren't in it.
Damn it.
Didn't make
that
cut.
Where were you, Jerry Mitchell?
So you were a part of that. You went from like sets, and then Gary's like, you'll be Chachi. And then we had this wonderful experience of putting that show together. It was so much fun. And then I remember they were, Jersey Boys had come out. Mm-hmm. I knew Daniel Reichard because mm-hmm. I went to high school with him.
Right.
And actually, I saw Leslie Odom Jr. In Jersey Boys.
In La Jolla.
I was at La Jolla.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I went down, I think, for the last performance at La Jolla, and I was like, this is going to be the biggest hit ever. It was unbelievable, one of the most exciting theater experiences ever. And I remember while you were playing Chachi and you're doing all this falsetto stuff as Chachi, that our music director,
Phil Reno,
he wasn't working on Jersey Boys, right?
No.
No, but he was like, you have to be Frankie Valli.
But Carole King,
Carole King was involved?
Who said it in the lobby. Because remember, Carole King worked on a version of Happy Days before you.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? You weren't in those versions.
Yeah.
So Carole King and Paul Williams were working on the music and the lyrics together, and then they didn't end up continuing because Carole had a lot of projects or something.
Yeah.
So Carole King had been working on the earlier versions of Happy Days, but she came to the version of Happy Days that you and I were in.
Uh-huh.
And in the lobby, afterwards, she says to me, you have to be in Jersey Boys. Yeah. It's in La Jolla right now, but you have to be in it. Carole King.
Wow. Well, it was absolutely clear to everyone in the world who knew anything about Jersey Boys and knew you that I remember what I was saying to you. You were like, I don't know, I'm going to get an audition or something. And I was like, Joe, you are going to be playing Frankie Valli. You are 100% going to be playing Frankie Valli. That part is an Olympic event. There are only a few athletes who can play it, and you're one of them. So it's just a matter of finding the right time to place you in that show.
You are a soothsayer.
No, it was lit. I mean, you have the right look. You have beyond the most perfect voice for that show and such a great voice in general. It was so clear that that was going to be a big part of your career. I mean, like, and it was pretty quickly.
It was.
Because, like, right after we did Happy Days, I remember I moved to New York and you booked Jersey Boys. What was the story on that?
It was 2007.
Uh-huh.
And I went in. They were holding auditions here at the Amundsen. And I went in and I had not seen the show. I didn't know anything except I knew who the Four Seasons were and I knew who Frankie Valli was. But I went in and I sang Build Me Up Buttercup. That was my audition song. And I thought it went well. And I left and I was like, okay, good for you, Joe. And then I was walking out of the building, the annex there at the Amundsen.
Right.
And Mary Sugarman, who was casting,
uh-huh.
he said, Joe, can you come back for a second?
Ooh, that's a good sign.
It was a good sign. That doesn't happen too often.
Nope.
And so I went back in and they said, have you seen the show? Do you know the show? No. They said, well, can you come tonight to the show here at the Amundsen? And I said,
the show was already at the Amundsen?
It was at the Amundsen. It was opening at the Amundsen. The tour was coming through. And I said, yeah, sure. And then they said, well, and can you come back tomorrow to meet with this person? And can you come back the next day to do this? And can you come back on Friday to dance with Kelly Devine?
Mm.
Kelly Devine was assisting Sergio. Or she maybe was his associate, actually. But I knew Kelly Devine because she choreographed the Aerosmith show that we did at the Roxy.
Oh, my God.
So, flash forward to, I got through all those hoops, and then they said, will you come to New York and come meet Dez and do the thing and audition and callbacks, and I did that, and then I came back to L.A., and I didn't hear anything for a long time, actually. It was like, well, it felt like a long time.
Yeah, it was probably like
a week or 10 days.
Yeah.
But I was hearing from other people, oh, I heard that they're not going to go with me this time, or did you hear that so-and-so is going to go back again.
Right.
But I hadn't heard anything. Then they called and said, will you come to Vegas and open the Las Vegas company?
Wow.
And then that was sort of the beginning of a wild, incredible, virtually 9 years of my life.
Yeah. Now, so many times people have asked me how I did Book of Mormon for 800 performances or for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, they, you know, you can't really know until you're in it, like how you do it. I don't know how you did Frankie Valli for nine years of your life?
Yeah, there was like a couple periods where I wasn't in.
In between different companies.
Yep,
and
yep. Between Vegas, the first national tour, and New York. And we did all of Toronto before the Toronto company happened.
Right.
But yeah, it's over 2,000 performances. And I think I'm still correct in saying that I hold the record for performing it the most times.
I mean, I feel like that's got to be true. Like that you were the rock for that role for its entire life.
And now it's coming back to New York off Broadway.
What?
It is.
I have not heard that.
See, I told you I'd give you some news.
Wow.
This is dirt.
This is where you come in.
It's dirt if you want to just know what Playbill.com
is it on Playbill?
Said.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, if you want to know.
I'm not breaking news on Living
the
Dream.
Yeah, it's coming back.
That's great. That's so smart. I mean, the thing is
not with me.
Right. But the show is so strong. It can last forever.
It's so good.
I think it just needed to move to a new space. That's great. Oh, it's perfection. The fact that it's a musical, I always say, is kind of secondary because really it's just a great play that happens to be about guys who sang.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good story.
Mm-hmm.
It's the feeling that you have walking out of that theater is you're just walking on air. Like it's just it never disappointed me anytime I saw it. And I've got to see you perform at least three, maybe four times.
And I know, in your hometown of Cleveland.
Yes, that's right. And you were with Andrew Rannells.
Yep.
That's the first time I met Andrew. Maybe I didn't even meet him.
And that might have
been the first time I saw him perform.
That was my first city on tour,
right?
Was Cleveland.
That's right. And
the review said it couldn't be him singing live. It was too good.
Really?
I was like, screw you, Cleveland.
You know, we don't believe things in Cleveland. It takes a lot.
Andrew Rannells, that was a really fun time to work with Andrew Rannells.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember seeing Andrew, and because he was playing Gaudio and that was the part that Daniel Reichert had created, I was like, well, we'll see how this guy does, because I was so partial to Daniel, but I was like, wow, he really made it his own, and you guys were so good together. You had such a great chemistry.
Yeah.
I was so happy I got to see him perform that, because when I met him, when we started workshops for Mormon, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, you're absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I've seen you perform, and I know what you are going to bring to this role. But you were on the road for quite some time.
Yeah, I was on the road for almost 5 years.
Wow. I mean, like, I've been quote-unquote on the road for 5 months. I did San Francisco for 5 months, and now I'm back home in Los Angeles, so
wow.
It doesn't really count.
It's really rough.
I know.
It's really rough.
I know. But, like, it's still... That's why it impresses me, because being in San Francisco for 5 months was not easy in terms of living somewhere that's not your home.
Right.
It's not really where you live. And that had a lot of complications, especially, you know, with family and with my husband, of course. How did you manage to get through those 5 years and stay sane?
Well, the first question is, well, you know, the show for me, Jersey Boys, for anyone who's playing Frankie,
right,
it's a marathon every night.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't leave the stage.
Right.
And so a lot of my days were gearing up for, my daytime hours were gearing up for how I was going to make it new tonight,
right,
and stay true to what we were supposed to be giving that fresh new audience every night. And the thing that I learned was, wasn't so great at that if I was staying in a hotel every city that we went to.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was I would stay with people I knew. And I would...
I'm laughing because, you know...
Because you know one of them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, a few.
You know a few of them.
I know a few. I know quite a few.
If basically, if I knew you and you lived in anywhere near the city that
right.
I was performing in, you were getting a phone call from me,
right,
and I was moving in for however long I was there.
Right.
And I had my car
right.
with me on tour, and I would pack it up, and I would drive from city to city, and I would stay with people. And those people would make life so interesting,
mm-hmm.
and life have an element of home, that it didn't feel so disconnected, or that I was just,
a show pony.
Right. And that the fact that you're waking up in a home instead of a hotel, that alone is...
Well, in the conversation
yeah.
after the show, when I'd get back, people would wait up. Even people that didn't like to stay up late, they'd wait up and want to know how the show was.
Right.
And they could also, I could say, yeah, enough about the show. What'd you do today? And then I could talk to people about things that weren't the show.
Right.
Because you can only live the show so many hours of your day, every day, for 9 years.
You can go and you can make food for them because you're so
I did. I made food for everybody.
Yes. And one of the first places you stayed at, maybe it wasn't the first, but you stayed there before. You stayed with my mom in Cleveland. With my mom and my cousin Katie.
I did.
In Cleveland. In the house that I grew up in. But before that, you stayed in my in-laws' house.
I did.
You forgot.
No, I didn't forget, but I was trying to think of the timeline. Is it before?
Yeah, yeah.
It was before.
Oh, it was before because...
Oh, I love that. Indianapolis.
You were like, hey, this guy you're dating, he is from Indianapolis, right?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Well, we're going to play there. Do you think I could stay at his
I was relentless.
House?
I was relentless. Like, I didn't even know anybody, and I was like, please.
Gerald and I had been dating for, like, maybe a year.
I knew Gerald, yeah.
Yeah, but we had been dating for, like, maybe a year, year and a half. I can't even remember. I think I had met his parents once.
And then I was going to go stay for a month.
Like, yeah, then you're like, I'm yelling.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry. But you are like... can I go stay there? I was like, I can ask because I know like they would probably love to like go to the show and they had like a room available. I knew. So I remember we asked Gerald's dad first to be like test the water, see what he thought. And he's got this low voice. He goes, well, I think I'll talk to Joy, see what she thinks. And he was kind of okay with it. And then my mother-in-law was like, what? We don't even know him. How could we have... I don't know if you know this. She was like the one who was like...
I do know
I don't know. I don't know if we can have a stranger in the house, an actor, you know? And... But they were like, okay, you know, he can stay with us. And you stayed at the house. And my mother-in-law loves you so much now. It's like I'm constantly competing with you Joe is. And you like went and you
Well,
were
we
like,
watched Grey's Anatomy and ate pizza.
Yeah.
I don't want to give away everything, but there was a night where there was a thunderstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I grew up in Sherman Oaks. We don't have thunderstorms like they have in Indianapolis.
Right. Sure.
I called my company manager and I said, I am not getting in a car and driving to the theater tonight. There's no way I'll die.
That's so LA.
I'll die. I can't do it. And I, you know me, I never miss a show. I do not miss a show.
Yeah.
But I truly thought I would be struck by lightning.
Sure.
A tree would fall on me. I would fall into a ravine and a river. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Right.
And so I stayed home and we had pizza and watched Grey's Anatomy.
Great.
Like, I mean, like episode after episode after episode after episode.
My mother-in-law, Joy, Gerald's mother, thinks the world of you.
Likewise.
And has probably seen you perform more times than she's seen me. She's seen Jersey Boys many times. She was there for your last week of shows.
Maybe the tickets were easier to get than Hamilton, Rory.
Well, not much. She can get as many Hamilton tickets as she wants.
Good.
She's my mother.
Good, good.
But I just say it because I actually think that you showing up to that house and being from my world and being such a good guest and being, I think that it gave me a lot of
street cred.
Yeah. Or like they were a lot more comfortable with an actor or like with what I do because it's so foreign to so many people.
Well, and that was a lot of what I would do. A lot of the conversations at these different houses I would stay at with people that I knew on different degrees, right?
Yeah.
The fascination with, how do you do it? What is it you do? And they pay you to do that. And should you have another job just in case?
Right.
A lot of people are really worried that I should have gotten some kind of day work.
Right.
You know,
while you're there.
Go back to working at the Gap or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a fascinating thing. I had very good friends that I stayed with. Parents are very good friends in the Washington, D.C. area. And I stayed in Virginia and I would drive from Virginia to D.C. when we played there twice. And there was still concern. Like I had come back 2 years later and we were doing the show and it was great and it was big and everyone was like excited and they were still concerned. Are you sure that this is a career you want?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's hard to wrap your head around
when
you're not in it. I mean, I'm still like, Am I sure? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah,
because people say that, and you're like, maybe they're right. I don't know. What's
now I have to do the.
Year.
Now I have to answer. What is an artistic director?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure. Well, let's get into that because I think that, you know, like what we used to talk about sitting in a booth on that stage right over there mm-hmm. when you were Chachi and I was Richie, and then you went off and you were a Broadway star. You got to do Frankie Valli on Broadway for a really long time. Mm-hmm. You were hugely successful in that. And when you came back to Los Angeles after that, you made the choice to be an artistic director here at the Gary Marshall Theater. And a lot went into that decision, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we talked about it a few times while you were still
debating
and not even knowing exactly that that's what it would be, but like what kind of role you would play yeah. with this theater. And I think that it's such a, one of the reasons I would love to talk to you right now, because I think that is such a unique moment for an actor, because many times I've said being an actor is an addiction. You're never going to fully get rid of it. You can't like walk away and be a different profession of any kind and not kind of still have the shakes mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. wanting to get back on mm-hmm. stage and perform. It's always going to be there. But a lot of times we close ourselves off to other opportunities when they come along because we're so afraid to let go of that focus of performing on a stage or in any way. How did you approach the decision to take on this huge responsibility here? And what was your how did you make your final decision?
I mean, it boils down to my heart mm-hmm. and my emotions. I don't know that in the performing arts, I'll speak for myself, in the performing arts, the live performing arts, I don't think that I've made a lot of decisions with my brain and a rational. This is a rational decision. It's usually about the circumstance and I don't know, like the feeling behind right. it. You know, I knew that I had a deep devotion to this very special theater that we're sitting in right now, and to the Marshall family. And to all the people that extend from that sort of like center point of Gary. And I knew that it had been a home for me just as long as Jersey Boys had been a different kind of home for me. And the hardest part about it was trying to understand if I did this, did that mean I was taking myself out of the race, so to speak, the
sure.
the performing, the singing solo concerts or auditioning for a Broadway show or whatever that meant. And so, because that was the, you know, we had a lot of conversations about it, but I had a lot of conversations with other people
yeah.
too. But everyone that I relied on, that I trust as a guru who knows me, everyone said, this is where you belong. Your decision is the right decision right now. At this juncture in your life, there's no one else that really should be doing this but you.
Right.
Because I knew all the pieces. You know, I knew the theater, I knew the family, I knew theater.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other pieces too, like how to design a lobby. But it wasn't so much of a struggle. It was sort of like the easy decision to make.
Right.
I don't know that my manager loved that decision. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the right decision if I was going to go in a different path, you know
sure.
what I mean? But I think it's the right decision for my personal history,
right.
my narrative, you
right.
know, that yes, at this point, at this age, with what I've done, this is where I belong.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of work to be done here. I don't think this is going to be easy, and it has proven that it is not
yeah.
going to be easy.
It's incredibly challenging.
And we're just about to open the first show, which is Masterclass, and we talked about that, but we're not even into where it gets hectic.
Right.
We're in the setup stage, and that's hectic.
Right.
So.
And you're directing for them.
I'm directing for
them.
I'm directing for them, and we've had auditions, and we had a record turnout for that, and it's going to be a great show.
Oh,
we right. know it's a great show.
It is a great show.
But it's
going
to be a great show to shove
year.
Into
yeah.
this particular
Yeah.
space.
Yeah. This is an intimate theater. It's how many seats? 130.
30.
And so anything you get to see here, it's a It's a great seat.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the shows that have been done here have been like 1 to 3 cast members, smaller shows. So to have a show of that scale, mm-hmm. it's going to be a huge challenge.
It's going to be big.
But you are more than ready to take on that challenge. You're also completely right for this job. And I think that for my part, when we were talking about it, it was, when are you ever going to get another opportunity, not only to do something that you're interested in this way, like art, being an artistic director, to have this kind of experience, but to do it in a place that means so much to you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is once in a lifetime.
I mean, it is once in a lifetime. And I've been lucky that I have had those situations present themselves to me, like Jersey Boys, like the first time I worked with Gary in at the end of the 90s there. And now this, to be on the ground floor of the inaugural season of the new nonprofit Gary Marshall Theater. Right. I mean, all those words are exciting.
Yeah.
So you put them all together and it's, I don't want to let anybody down. That's, you know me.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that everyone has the best time possible and experiences something, you know, valuable.
How do you deal with the fact that, like, everyone who knows you knows that you are more than well-equipped for a job like this, but I'm certain that, just as with anything, even when you take on a big acting role and you've done a bunch of different roles, you're scared because you're like, I have no idea. I know how to do this part. I have no idea how to do this, or this. So taking on something that is completely new in many ways, how do you deal with the parts of it that you're like, I never even considered that this was a part of this? How do I push my way through it?
Well, I learn. I'm learning a lot.
The
thing that I didn't have the most knowledge in was the cost of everything.
Yeah.
So
we kind of ignore that,
you know,
as actors.
You kind of, and even as an audience member, you go and you see a show and you think, well, my ticket was expensive, but then you don't even realize that your ticket doesn't even pay for what you're seeing.
Right.
You know, at least in mid-size regional houses, things like that, you know, it takes a lot of help to make it happen.
Yeah.
But so I'm learning about the nuts and bolts a little bit more from the budgeting.
Yeah.
The budgeting and working with a great executive director here, Sherry, who is well-versed in that. And it's really a collaboration of creative people, business people, nonprofit people.
Yeah.
People that just come from different specialties and coming together and kind of schooling each other. That's how we're figuring it out. That's how I'm figuring it out. It's like, okay, I know this up until this point. Now you who know it, tell me what I'm missing. And then really putting my best foot forward.
Right.
And staying here all day and all night.
Yeah.
Basically living here.
I know,
here.
You're living here. Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of what it takes, especially when this is the first time this theater has done this. They've mm-hmm. gone through seasons, but mm-hmm. never in this way.
Mm-mm.
And never had so much on their plate, you mm-hmm. know, of trying to tackle so many huge changes physically in the theater and also artistically. And
yeah, because we are doing a full rebrand of the space, what it looks like, the logo, the marquee that's coming in about 3 weeks. It'll be a big event. It's going to be really exciting. So if it's on a Monday, you can come.
Yeah.
You can bring the cast to Hamilton.
I don't care if it's on a Monday or not. I'll just show up.
Just show up. You know,
the show's over.
You know, you've got like an all access pass.
I know.
You know, just come whenever you want.
I know. There are people around here who are. Like,
and Gerald's family, too, whenever they want to
Gerald's
come.
Family. Yeah. No, I mean, it's. I'm so proud of you. I feel like.
I'm proud of you. I'm on your podcast.
Here you go. This is a big deal, being on Living the Dream.
I feel it. I wore my best hat.
You did. I love your hat. I feel like, as I said, you're exactly where you should be. You're also exactly where you're where it makes me most proud right now, because just knowing that you and the team that is put in place here to keep Gary's legacy going, to keep this theater going, and keep the same spirit alive
mm-hmm.
is just so important to me and to so many people who've worked here and this entire community of Toluca Lake / Burbank.
Oh, yes, it's so true.
Toluca Bank.
Toluca Bank. That's like an old Hollywood film actress.
Yes, Toluca Bank.
You know, I feel like I am the representative for all of us who feel so strongly about this place, you know?
Yeah.
And I also feel so strongly that you're in the Pantages right now, mm-hmm. doing what you're doing, and that you're back in California after you've sort of circled the globe doing all sorts of things, and that there are other people who we used to share the stage with 10, 12 years ago that are also doing important cultural, artistic things in the community that inform, and when I say community, I don't mean the neighborhood. I mean the community across the internet, you know, that we all are still representing what we learned here.
Yeah.
Or what we were fostered to learn here.
Yeah.
You know?
That we are making the family bigger. And mm-hmm. I just feel like that's what Gary did, was he mm-hmm. didn't make a play or a movie.
Right.
He made a family.
Right.
And that was the greatest lesson I took away from working with him. And I feel like when I take a job or when I'm getting to be around people who I love working with, it's really about creating a bigger family and building on top of what we already have. And that's, you know, another reason why Gerald and I are in Los Angeles is because I feel so strongly about the family that was built here and the wonderful people that I met here. So it's all kind of coming together right now. Isn't it weird?
We kind of all went away and then we all came back.
Yeah, it's really strange. I mean, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. But, you know, sometimes you get so busy with keeping it all going that you don't get to step away and look at it all and be like, my God, we are all coming back to this place and to this moment for our next part of our journey.
Mm-hmm.
And we left here with a lot of big dreams, and the fact that we got to accomplish so many of them in New York.
I know, right?
Yeah. It's kind of wild.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
It is. Well, you know you're welcome here anytime you want.
Well,
podcast or
you
not.
Know I don't care if I'm welcome or not. I'm coming.
Barge right in. You know, and this theater is going to be a welcome place for anyone.
Yeah.
Truly. Anyone is welcome to come here.
Yeah. No, and I think that this is going to be a very exciting year because so many new people are going to be coming in, and so many of the people who've been so loyal to the Falcon are going to come to the Gary Marshall Theater mm-hmm. and just be blown away by what you've done. So mm-hmm. I love you. I really appreciate the hard work you're doing. I know you're literally going to leave this and go right back into another meeting.
You bet your bottom dollar.
Done, and so I appreciate your time.
I thought I'd throw a musical theater reference in.
Oh,
there.
I got it.
Okay, thanks.
I love that.
Okay.
I love that. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Audition, side job, swimming upstream. Believe it or not, you're living the dream.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.